contrast, clumsy hulking robots sometimes rip the plaster off walls as they lumber by.
Okay.
That's the whole idea, is that we can't figure it out. We can't figure out AI.
You're right. Yeah, we can still create things.
But they beat chess grandmasters, right?
Yes, they do.
And win Jeopardy.
AlphaGo is a game where there's infinitely more moves than chess. It's like you can have 256 moves at once. In chess, you can only have like 16 or something like that.
Mm.
Go. The game is Go. AlphaGo is the program. And the robot, or the, yeah, AlphaGo, the, you know, the program that was created is, you know, stupider than a four-year-old. Like, a four-year-old is infinitely smarter.
Mm-hmm.
But it can, you know, it can win.
It can do one thing better.
That's the
whole
thing.
But it can't function.
It's
as a
so
whole.
Dumb. It's just so stupid. You know, you could give a four-year-old a tough question. You could pat a four-year-old on the back and say congratulations, and they'll know what's going on. You can't do that to AlphaGo. It's not happy or sad ever. It's not. It's, you know, it doesn't know that it created the most.
Right. You know, that sounds like a lot like what we were talking about in my literature class today, because we're going into the literary theory of deconstruction. And it's just like, what is the meaning behind words? Why I say tree, and you both pictured a different tree.
Mm-hmm.
What would we program AI to picture?
That it's funny, but a similar analogy is like, what language does a dog think in?
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's like, well, does he think in barks? Does he think at all?
Language itself cannot be concrete because of the fluidity of our understanding of the words within language.
But programming language is concrete. That's the thing.
So how can you find where one can understand the other?
I think the human brain. I think the human brain can be implemented into code, as we have done. Similarly, because I think we can take the basic concept of neural connections, put it to code, and see what happens. Because our brains kind of think in a way, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this because this, and this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I shouldn't drive my car today because it's snowing outside and windy. You know, all these different little bits lead to an end result. Right.
Synaptic efficiency is what neural networks are about. Repetition.
Right.
Feeding it information and data.
Mm-hmm.
Like our own brains, we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
And I think that's the bypass we were talking about when we're like, well, it's hard coded, you know, they can't really think for themselves.
But what happens when they think for themselves?
We don't know.
You're explaining the first half of the movie of iRobot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the thing in iRobot is that there's a program that controls all the robots.
What's her name?
Vicky.
Okay, I got a question.
Crazy?
Vicky comes to what conclusion?
That humans need to basically be imprisoned for their own safety.
Yeah, that's exactly what the book says.
Yeah, the robot, can something artificial create something unique? And so can they... Would it be a collective conscience or an individual within each AI or each individual robot?
A lot of these systems, these APIs, are pulling from some sort of source that is running the service of the neural network. So I think it would always be a collective mindset, unless you want to have something different for each bot. I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
You can have something different, but the idea of a collective is that the copies can replace themselves.
Yeah, like, right. Like, it's still streamed from the same source.
It's coming from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're on step two in Skynet's, like, five-point plan of world takeover.
This is a test.
Let's see.
Boy, you're triggering lots of stuff for me here. Skynet. Now
if,
I think about the
if,
sky.
If I can't put it to pop culture, I'm out of this conversation. I'm lost.
The laws, they call them laws of intelligence.
there can't be a law in its own context implies that everyone's on the same playing field, which with people it's impossible to have a law of intelligence because nobody has the same base level of intelligence.
I don't know, I'm not as smart as the
summarize that
passionate.
It's my opinion. The layman. I'm the layman, dude.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when your face is created by an AI? What happens when you see yourself
somebody
created?
Uses
can
my
I
face?
Sue? Can I say
no,
my
no,
face
no, no,
is
no.
my
it
property?
Is,
you can't use my face without my
it's,
permission.
It's not. It's just completely randomly generated, and it happens to be your face.
The laws that are going to come in the next 100 years regarding robots and human interaction will blow our minds.
Absolutely. I believe
so
that
things
as well.
Like this, like I wanted to do 23andMe, but then I found out like you basically like sign away your DNA and they keep it on ice and they can do whatever they want with it and you've signed. So I don't want a clone of me in 30 years.
Yeah.
Or I find out they used my DNA to, oh, now we've created like the endless supply of like synthetic meat for humans based on DNA that we grabbed from these people.
Right.
That stuff is scary.
Right.
I don't even put my credit card info on my phone.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that
we're gonna let them into our homes. We're gonna let them have all of our information, and then when the revolution comes, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves. The revolution of convenience. Where will our place be in that new world? What worth is a human compared to a automated workforce?
And yeah, that's sort of the difference is, I mean, we can talk about Blade Runner all we want with replicants as slaves, though generically they still act and appear as human. Even one giving birth, so that's sort of, if they can do everything better, then why continue on as humans? And then we get into sort of the sci-fi aspect of, well, should we transport ourselves, I don't know, like, consciously into a cyborg, you
know? Somebody's doing that, right? Who paid to do that already? Some Silicon Valley guy.
I think I know what you're talking about.
He has a contract in place when he dies to have his consciousness download into a robot.
How do you download conscience?
I don't know. But that'll be the future, man. We'll need laws. We'll need laws that say, like, you need something to identify yourself as a robot with AI in the future. Because it's going to be like Ash from Alien, where you can't tell, dude. You don't know.
But if they don't want to identify themselves?
Well, they're a robot. I don't think they're not given that choice. Because that...
Okay.
That's
let me stop you.
Speech and freedom.
Before we get too far, where does it end?
That's a really interesting concept I don't think I've heard. The whole cloud aspect. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean...
So you are the queen bee.
If you think... If
you suddenly have to be on multiple worlds at once... Because jobs in the future require you to be on multiple worlds at once. If you're going to be a part of our highway Route 66 through space.
Yeah,
right.
That's
yeah.
So interesting.
It's
going to
be
the Milky
beaming
highway.
You through a laser.
That's hard because for some reason I can't physically grasp the concept of me being digital. Like I can't
yeah.
grasp the concept of me being
how
digital.
Can, yeah, how
like,
can we, honestly?
It's like you're
I it yeah.
not aware anymore.
It's the closest thing to omnipotent is possible for humans.
You're just like...
Ubiquitous?
No, I think you're thinking
omnipotent.
Of... Yeah.
All-knowing, all-seeing.
Mm-hmm.
An ancient religious word for, like, Greek and gods.
Right. But that's a very interesting, like, concept to, like, splice yourself into multiple, you know, bots with your own personality intact. Hmm. Maybe we would kind of give up the ability for personalization in order to segment ourselves into basic categories of emotion or like personality.
The brain is not a digital computer.
I know. So how will we transfer?
We already do that like to an extent now, identifying ourselves based on groups, like technology wise, Apple or Android. Like you have picked your class, you have picked the people in the technology you will use.
Right. Like an RPG element, like we have the basic, you know, this guy's always happy or depressed or mad or, you know, and then we have certain percentages that those basic emotions are broken down into, but at the cost of that, you lose your entire, like, because if you segment yourself, you're not human, are you?
No, that's just a program. It's a mathematical equation. And while math is probably the best way to explain the universe, because numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
That gets rid of any type of human element. Which, you're not you.
So, I don't think we would ever go that route then. Because I think that some of the basic concept of humanity is to stay human. Whether we like it or not.
But then what is our place in a world with AI? Like, did the entire structure and concept of money and commerce exchange would have to change because of the people that just don't have jobs because of the convenience. It's like, you don't have to have a job because the robots do all the jobs. So then what is the way that you provide yourself any commodity or necessity? How do you provide for yourself when you don't even need to?
I think our goal is to make things that don't repair themselves. And because that in and of itself is probably the largest thing I can see when things start turning to robots, especially self-driving cars, is when something bad goes wrong or there's a kink in the software,
mm-hmm.
who's going to be able to repair it?
Right.
I mean, it can't repair itself.
Well, they do that now with planned obsolescence.
Like right.
My refrigerator should last 40 years, but it's not going to because they make sure it's going to break down after 8 years because of the materials they use, so I have to buy another. Why is my car not made with metal bumpers? So I have to get a new car or new bumpers.
But what happens when when production becomes fully automated, I think the main job source would just be repairing or at least design.
And everybody some sort. Else would be like the people in WALL-E.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, eventually I think we'll just get too lazy to repair.
And I don't think planned obsolescence is the hierarchy top. I think maybe nanotechnology is where we're going next.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Things like graphene, which is a way far and away from the idea of AI turning ourselves into a hive. I don't think we're going to be doing that. I think we're going to be sending humans off into space, not necessarily robots, but maybe robots to start terraforming planets.
Oh, definitely.
To get out there first.
Oh, terraforming is going to happen. Space Force is already real, so. Well, I see us moving more towards like
a good analogy.
A virtual world.
A good analogy is that you can remove half the human brain and it'll still work, but you can't remove half the motherboard of a robot. You know.
Yeah, that's entirely true. The kind of modularity of humans in general is sort of outstanding, because we strive to live even in the worst of circumstances, whereas a robot will just continue,
you know, being,
yeah.
A to B.
Right.
The process
mm-hmm.
that must be continued. I read this book series when I was in middle school called Pendragon about this kid that goes through, like, different worlds. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
So the fourth book is where he's in a world that that is far in the future enough to where
that's right.
everyone has their own virtual reality pod, basically, and the physical world is so deteriorated because people are addicted to their virtual life, because why wouldn't you be? I can think in my head, man, I wish I had pizza. And the pizza guy's at the door.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not want to be in the world where everyone is the captain of their basketball team?
Yeah.
And so we're going to move towards automation of the physical world to allow
our fat, lazy selves
to have our ideal mental world that we never have to wake up from.
I think
as far as we can conceive.
Yes, that's interesting, because a lot has a lot has played around with that concept. Black Mirror has, Adventure Time has, we have Ready Player One.
Right.
And I genuinely...
Oh, Ready Player One is the future.
Like, yeah, like really that kind of concept of, wow, I can literally do anything and be anything within this my own little playground. I think that's both amazing, but give... I think
it's
humans can develop a god humans can develop a god complex just as easy as anything else.
Well, that's the Stanford Prison Experiment. humans will devolve into the base level of any given negative scenario.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have enough of a problem getting off of Skyrim and spending too much time on there. Right. Like, think about if I have that VR.
I wouldn't ever.
I
leave.
Literally am a god.
I would not ever leave. Yeah.
Why would I go to a place where people I look at are my equal when I could go to a place where anyone I look at I can kill without mercy or second thought? It sounds totalitarian, and it sounds very...
Maybe robots... Maybe we'll have games that are far better by then.
Well, hopefully.
You can't be...
We better, man, but it's...
What's
it's,
far better than doing anything you want? So.
But what does that look like?
Would you give up being God if you had the chance to be?
I would not. Why would exactly. you give that up?
Exactly.
How could you conceive of that?
Exactly. Within, that's true, too.
Exactly. So it comes down to what is the extent of what we can imagine within our future moving forward.
I can't that's imagine I too it. Much.
Would you feel like that lessens the value of your life if there is automation or AI at the top?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Democracy.
It would turn it. It goes away from democracy. It goes towards... almost a
scientific,
totalitarian
yeah.
commune.
Right.
To where this is the perfect equation of what this person and that person
constantly
that person
learning
gets.
Until it develops.
And,
something.
I mean, that literally builds upon just genetic engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Just something I think, like, behind the scenes we've perfected, but probably don't want to ever touch it. I genuinely think we've probably conceived something interesting of genetic in terms of genetic engineering,
oh,
but
for sure.
I think even them knowing that what they've created is amazing, I think they either are trying to destroy what they've created or trying to just not ever do it again. Because just the danger...
It might be used for things like robo-doctor, robo-lawyer.
Yeah, no, like, don't get
that
me wrong.
That
like,
would be convenient, but think of the more people that are going to lose their jobs.
It's not just jobs. If we have
yeah.
the power to genetically engineer what we want, then what's the point of birthing? What's the point of being human anymore?
Yeah, no, I'm going to have an app where I can make the baby I want. My D1 athlete child will be outstanding. You know, why would I choose to, if I have the choice, why would I not choose to have like the cancer-free genetic altering
right.
to my unborn child?
And
why?
Then
not something I know, but a robo doctor wouldn't be as satisfactory as a real doctor. It might take away
bedside
some.
Manner. The bedside, they would have no bedside
yeah, that's,
manner
that's
at
true
all.
Too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
providing just good ideas, but not.
But then that just turns into a class fight.
I just thought of an AI doctor like trying to like learn trying to learn bedside manner. Your cancer is malignant. Knock knock. Who is there? Just like trying to figure out how to create that that engaging relationship with a patient.
Oh my goodness.
You guys, we're starting to see how stupid we are.
I'm completely out of my element in this conversation.
This is weird, dumb.
I'm...
This is crazy, though.
I can only project.
We've touched on
I
some
think.
Crazy things.
Yeah. Which is the least or most possible? All of them?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Where do you see us in 5 years? Like, the most realistic you can think of. In 5 years, how do you think anything's going to be different?
I see government regulation and mandates based on creating AI bots and those fake faces you showed me for social media purposes.
Within 5 years?
Well, I believe
I
that's probably happening now.
I see some movement in robots beyond two dimensions. Robots think in two dimensions now. I think we can move
really?
That to three
I think
dimensions.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I mean, deepfake is more or less three-dimensional, but I see where you're coming from.
Animal robots, you know. Yeah. A good example from
Boston University.
Yeah.
Animal robot pets.
Not pets.
It has
to
cat
do
fur,
jobs.
But it's not going to.
So think about. Think about robots that learn to move like a snake in the sewer system to look for holes, you know, because they slide over water.
That's great.
To look for holes in our problems. I mean, that's a solution.
And so that's one of those things that, as my limited human brain can think, I'm only thinking of, back to iRobot, a person-styled robot as a sewer person, whereas...
Mm-hmm. Or a bird robot that looks is a drone, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And so that's where we are actually limited in our thinking. With the possibilities of the future.
Right.
We're going to model things after what we know.
So
that
what
way
we've
we
been
can
given.
So from an easier to understand perspective for me, you're saying put AI or some sort of algorithm into devices that humans have to use.
To make it easy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So why do we need a robot bus driver when we can automate the bus?
Or to assemble the bus.
Boom. Yeah. And then you're saying, like, again, I'm saying here's what I think. And then you just drop a nuke on it and explode into all these possibilities of what you can do.
Self-aware. Yeah,
there's just a giant dichotomy key of everything we could do.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Advanced. Really, that becomes an advanced conversation, I think, too advanced for us.
And it just started too advanced for me.
Okay.
Where do you see us colonizing? Because you went to the space talk. So there's, like, even within space talk, there's how many different avenues of where to go? You said the Mars. Why not the moon first?
Why not the moon first?
Yeah.
We're going to have to use the moon for sure. Space is going to be interesting when we have to jump from...
Moon will be a short step, I guess.
I see it as a security outpost.
Oh. Yeah. Let's see. So we have three or four planets near us, and then there's the Oort cloud that covers everything in the end. What's the asteroid belt? So the asteroid belt is
Kuiper.
Between us and then the gas giants. Yeah, Kuiper belt.
On the other side of Mars.
Yeah, Mars is within our distance, that's why.
Why are we starting Space Force?
I think it was on its last limbs. I don't know. I mean, space travel's definitely something we'll be doing. I personally don't agree with it.
You don't agree with space exploration?
Oh, if I could become a space pirate, I would. That's, you know, I would love.
Han Solo, man.
And I mean,
right, dude.
Like, I understand all the, you know, problems with space travel and everything. I really do, but I would still become a space pirate if I could. I think we've already destroyed one planet.
Well,
I don't think we should be allowed to do another.
Let's think about this. Can we explain what's actually going on? Because if we go and talk about gravity,
mm-hmm.
and we start talking about going to space, then you eventually come to this conclusion that when you get out to space, it's not that there's a lack of gravity, it's that everything is falling. And you're falling at the same rate. So
what?
Right. Okay. So are we talking about theory of relativity-wise? Are we talking about space-time?
I think so.
Okay. Because the more massive the object, the bigger a dent it places in space-time, which is the resulting gravity. So, for example, obviously the sun is very, very dense and massive. And as a result of that, all of these planets orbit it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bowling ball on a bed, on a cloth, right? You see that giant indent it creates, everything pushes down towards it. That's that kind of gravitational pull. That's what determines that. So, for example, I could be standing next to the pyramids of Giza, and relatively, it's not measurable. It's so minuscule. But if I'm standing next to the pyramids of Giza, I'm actually I'm in its gravitational pull. So I'm actually in a space-time which is completely different from everyone else. It's so minuscule to measure, but it's the truth. When you're next to a massive object, you're in a different kind of time.
So then why is it not proportionate to me? Like, why can I not be the massive object to something small enough?
It is.
Like, can we harness that to create like almost the force? Like, I want my water bottle, I reach for it and it comes to my hand because I've harnessed my gravitational pull towards weaker things.
Because the gravitational pull of Earth is unmeasurably
takes me out of the equation.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, if the satellites orbiting outer Earth are at a different time than we are right now, because time is slower the closer you are to the mass.
Okay.
You know, time is relative. Even that,
that's crazy.
We're getting too deep in that.
I see time as one of the like rigid things of this world.
Yeah, but you might think of gravity in the same way.
It's easy to
you
receive
might think
that.
That
right.
On Mars, it's going to be the same deal. You might think that on Mars, you're not going to be a third of the weight.
Right. That's
you
well,
might
you know all
you
of
might
the
think,
old sci-fi movies.
It's very hard to perceive.
You know? Yeah.
Because we don't know.
Totally common. Totally understandable.
Yeah. But in terms of kind of planetary
you might
revolution,
think, as a sports guy, that football fields won't, on Mars won't need to be three times as big because you can throw the ball three times as far.
Yeah.
Right.
Using the same.
That's very true.
That would make for fun watching. That's a very good analogy.
I don't know. Mars is definitely an interesting place. I would love to see us go there, but I don't think we should. It is already destroyed. Thing is, we don't know what destroyed Mars.
We're in kind of a golden age of space exploration.
I'd say we're not even there yet. I think we're almost there.
We'll get there in like what is it?
I think
until Captain Kirk is born.
Yeah. I think we'll get there once
close.
Our technology of engine propulsion or some kind of mathematical, you know, breakthrough is made.
Will it happen before we're contacted?
Because the faster you go, the more fuel it needs. And it's in proportional because, well, the more fuel, you know, the more weight.
We can go back to robots and robots mining asteroids using carbon from asteroids to fuel future.
Oh, that's, yeah.
I see Mars as kind of a population control place. This is where you go and the automation is mining the Earth for whatever we can get out of it still, and the people are somewhere else.
Which is a process that happens in stages. You can't go
right.
to Mars.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
No,
that's
you terraform, you have to build a colony. Yeah.
Mars has a solid core now. Inside of Earth,
we know
there is lava and liquid. It's hot.
Mm.
Right.
And metal is in there, and that's what creates
right.
that friction creates our electromagnetic
right.
field. That's why to get off Mars and to go to Mars, there's no gravitational field like there is on Earth. It doesn't cost as much energy to get off Mars.
Is that what it all comes to?
There's not as much gravity. Not that there's no gravity, but the core is solid now. There's no liquid inside. There's no liquid lava.
So it cooled.
Cooled.
Over time.
The thesis is that, the theory, I can theorize that, you know, a giant asteroid hit it. And knocked, you know, life to Earth.
quick fix on that. It's liquid iron. It's not solid.
On Mars?
Yes.
Why is it that there's no...
I believe I stated that incorrectly.
I thought it was solid.
No, Mars does have a liquid iron core. I mean, it's just the fact that we don't know if life on there before destroyed it. We don't know if there's something logical in nature that can destroy magnetic spheres. And in that case, we should be worried about ours. You know.
Well, solar flares can do that, right? And
They
is that space wind?
Yeah, solar. Yeah, solar wind. I mean, wind. It definitely can. But
radiation.
There must be. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll the heat generated by radioactivity deep inside the Earth. So what radioactivity, you know, causes the iron core to churn and produce a magnetic field. This field protects the atmosphere from solar wind.
Right.
And deflects deadly radiation from space. Northern Lights, blah blah blah. The field around the Earth is like a gigantic funnel channeling radiation from outer space toward the poles, so that most of the radiation is either deflected or absorbed. The Earth is larger than Mars.